Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of James, chapter number 4. Verse number 8. I think I've told you Stephen Olford, a great preacher and man of God, used to say about the hymns of the faith that if you understood what you're singing, you'd have a greater understanding of the Word of God than any seminary student around. And if you just took Fanny Crosby and broke down her songs and majored on the gospel that is in them, the truth that you would receive. I love that. James chapter number 4. I want to take out a moment and thank Richard and Kim for letting us stay in their bungalow over there. I just hope me and Esther don't get in no fights while we're there. It's a quiet neighborhood, so I don't want to ruin it. And then, of course, Sister Elaine cooks for us every Sunday. We eat y'all love to eat. Every day we eat. And, of course, I love to eat too. And I learned, you know, the difference here a while back about northern folks and southern folks, the difference as far as eating is concerned. And you can tell the difference by going to their zoos. You ever go to a Yankee zoo and then a southern zoo? You go to a Yankee zoo and they'll have the animal, the name of the animal, then the Greek name. I don't know why, but they do. But in a southern zoo, you go, they'll have the animal, the name of the animal, then a recipe. So that's the difference. Because we love to eat. And it's always good. Always good. James chapter number 4 and verse number 8. Draw nigh to God. What a wonderful invitation or call or command. Something to realize that the God of heaven invites you to come close. Draw nigh to God. And He will draw nigh to you. Did you notice the order of this event? Now, normally you would think that this ought to start on God's side and then come to man. But if I read that correctly there, it starts with us. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. There is a principle and promise that I have found throughout the Word of God. It is the truth that there will be those times of desperation in your life where God will set everything up exactly as it needs to be for your deliverance. But for anything else to happen after that, you will have to move first. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Now I want to read some verses. I understand now that He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And without Him we can do nothing. But yet He, in His own orchestrated way, will bring things to that point. And then, while you're waiting on him, he'll be waiting on you. And he'll say, if you want what you say you want, you'll have to first do what I want you to do. You first. Let's look at some verses that magnifies that. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But he said, you'll have to go first. Ask, Matthew 7:7, and it shall be given unto you. But you'll have to ask first. Seek, and ye shall find. But you'll have to seek first. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. But you'll have to knock first. You see the principle? Draw nigh to God. The problem's not him getting close to you. The problem is you drawing nigh to him. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. But he said, you'll have to open the door first. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I'm God and there is none else, but you'll have to look. Come unto me, Matthew 11:28, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He said, I got rest, but I'm waiting on you. Come unto me. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I'll show you some things, but you'll have to call. Do you see that principle that is found? This is my favorite. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Boy, look where the giving starts. Now understand, he's brought everything up to that point. Could it be that in our prayers of wanting to ask God to do something, that we might ought to set it up this way and say, Lord, in that which I want you to do, is there something you want me to do first that will unlock the door to all you want to do? What is it I need to do so I can find? What is it I need to do so I can see things open? What is it that I need to do so I can hear some things? What is it I need to do that I can... What is it in the devastation of the situation that I'm in that I've been waiting on you for so long for you to do something? What is it that you're waiting on me to do first? Give! And it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give in your bosom. But the giving's going to have to start with you. Oh, no, misunderstand me. I know what he's done. I know what he's given. But he's brought it up to that point. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. I do not know what it is that you need God to desperately do. But I do believe that in the heart of everything that you're wanting him to do, there will be something he's wanting you to do. First. Just three or four simple thoughts to emphasize this matter of these principles and promises of We just sort of want to drift around and say, well, God will do it all. Well, I know He's the beginning and the ending of everything, but somewhere in the middle, you're going to have to move. I'm going to have to move. This applies to all of us. The first thing that I would suggest to you in this matter of you first, it is God allowing us to know what it is like to be in a relationship with Him. To be a part of what He's doing. Oh, He could do it all. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. But if you'll notice in the Scripture, after the creation of this old world, God never did anything but what He didn't use somebody to do it through. That's you and that is me. He has chosen to allow us to be a part of His heavenly work here on earth. Think about it. He's going to split the Red Sea. Can God split the Red Sea? But what has to happen first? What was it that had to happen just before He split the Red Sea? Moses had to raise a rod. Ain't that amazing? Now why? He's letting Moses be a part of what He's doing. He's going to drive back the waters of the Jordan, but something has to happen first before He pushes those waters back. What is it? Somebody's got to step into it. Isn't that amazing? I'm going to push back the Jordan. I'm going to split the Red Sea, but Moses, you raise that rod first. Priest, you step down into that Jordan first. If you need this so massively, do what? I'm waiting on you. The walls of Jericho are going to have to come down. And God's going to bring those walls down, but somebody's got to do something first. What do they got to do? Huh? I'll march around it. In the New Testament, at that wedding feast, Mary says to Jesus, they're out of wine. He is going to turn water into wine, but somebody's got to do something first. What do they have to do? You got to pour something in there. You see how it involves somebody else first? It always does. He's going to bring Lazarus out of that grave, and He can bring him out of that grave, but somebody's going to have to do something first. What is it? What is it that God's wanting you to do first so He can do what you need Him to do in a majestic way? It's things that only God can do that God won't do until you do what He tells you to do that you can do. Because He wants you to be a part of what He is doing. Now don't worry about it. It's not going to give anybody bragging rights. Because anybody can do what He asks you to do. Anybody can raise a rod, a dead stick. Anybody can put their feet into water. Can they not? It's not something to boast of. Anybody can walk. Anybody can pour water, and anybody can push a stone. This is not that He might give you of His glory. It's for you to see His glory and see what He can do in your life if you're willing to do what He wants you to do. You first. Me first. Allowing us to see and witness what only God can do. Isn't it amazing how God will hinge His work upon our obedience? Now, He sets it up that way. I didn't. It is a matter, I say, of Him allowing us to be in on what He's doing. How wonderful that is. How blessed it is for somebody to be there and to witness what God can do after they have been obedient to what God wanted them to do. Now, I know you could interview him and say, man, Moses, well, that's a great thing you did there in Spitting. He said, I didn't do nothing, just raise a stick. The priests, I didn't do nothing but put my feet in the water. I didn't do nothing but march around the walls. I didn't do nothing but pour something in the vessel, each one would say, or move a stone. I feel like what I do is very minimal, but it is a must for him to accomplish what he wants to do. Did you know he hinged this matter of the gospel? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall he preach except he be sent? God Almighty put this preaching into somebody to spread this gospel so sinners could be saved. But the preaching's got to happen first. There's much that he can do in our lives and wants to do in our lives, but we must be listening for his will and his call that will unlock that door. This matter of you first is simply him allowing us how precious it is to be a part of what he is doing, whatever that is. Aren't you thankful that you can, if you sing for the Lord, that you can sing, or that you can testify for the Lord, or that you can preach for the Lord, or you can witness for the Lord, or you can give for the Lord, or you can go for the Lord, or you can pray for the Lord. But, I mean, all of those things are absolutes that must be done. God can send rain, but he ain't going to until after Elijah prays. Wow. Now, that's all God's business. I can't, as the old mountain fellow said, explain it, but I know it's true. That again, there comes those times when God will set everything up for a desperate need in the wilderness between Pharaoh's army and the Red Sea. And he got no problem for what he can do, but Moses will have to raise that rod to witness what they have to have. They have to have. It is God letting us know that there can be a relationship with Him. The second thing, and I pick up on this in these things that these verses that I read, the Bible again is filled with it. It is God, this matter of you first, is God making known to us what can come out of that relationship with Him. I mean, that relationship of God and Moses and what comes out of it. That relationship with God and the priests and what comes out of it. That relationship with God and the people and what comes out of it. That relationship with God and Elijah and what comes out of it. That relationship with God and those servants who pour in the water and what comes out of it. That relationship with those who move the stone and what comes out of it. What can flow from you being obedient and making that step, or doing whatever God tells you to do, and who knows what that is. It'll not be big, it'll not be gigantic in your sight or anybody else's sight as far as the world is concerned. It'll be small and seemingly insignificant, but oh, it'll hinge upon what God is going to do. It'll be the hinge that opens that door, or the hinge that allows God or gets God to do what he's been wanting to do as far as your life is concerned and my life is concerned. And so much can come out of it. My goodness, if you go back through those verses, you notice that by going first, some things will be given. By going first, some things will be found. By going first, some things will be opened. By going first, some things will be saved. By going first, some things will be forgiven. By going first, there will be an experience of rest. By going first, there will be some things known to you. By going first, some things will be given to you because you have given. The bounty of the blessing that God wants to come alive in our lives. He wants us to experience, not only be a part of it, to experience what is beyond our step forward with Him. I mean, just think how it, I mean, such a little thing as raising the rod, who could imagine what would come out of that? It would be beyond our comprehension, would it not? I mean, we're talking about a sea. I've been there privileged to see it at a time that it was as red as those seats right there, they say, because of the algae. I don't know. But I was driving by, being driven by there. By an Egyptian. And I said, whoa, wait a minute, what is that? I could see where it and the Mediterranean came together. I said, what is it? He said, that is the Red Sea. I said, I didn't know it was red. He said, yes, every year it turned red. Isn't that amazing? But who could imagine, who would have imagined that this not going to take a massive intellectual understanding of somehow trying to get a seed apart. Who would ever even think of it? Who would have thought that if a man raised a dead stick, that'd do the job? And it did do the job. Look what comes out of that. Look what comes after that. Those things that God wants you to see, those things that God wants you to experience, those things that God wants to give you, those things that God wants to do for you, but it's just beyond the obedience and the moving first. Are you seeing what I'm saying? It's a principle throughout the Word of God. I don't think it dawned on me until I just, one day I read that verse. It said, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. So, man, I think that's all the way through the Bible. And it is. Because He wants you to be a part of what He's doing, and He wants you to know what comes out, what you can experience, what you can witness, what you can know, what you can feel. Life-changing things just beyond the simplicity of what He tells you to do. And who knows what that may be? It may simply mean getting on your knees and praying for somebody you don't like, or loving somebody, or giving to somebody, or going and visiting somebody, or to call someone and say, you know, I'm sorry for what I said, that this our relationship is as it is because of me. Who knows what it is? But it may be in the depths of what you are experiencing, those times when God on your side will allow you to get between the Red Sea and the Egyptian army, will allow you to get to the border of which you know you need to get across, but you cannot get across, but yet God has set you up on your side to make a move, because He wants to unleash and give deliverance in that area in your life. Ooh, do you see that? He'll let you get to the place where it's so in desperation that here's the problem. What lies before me is impossible because it's beyond me. There is no answer. And God is saying, yes, there is. Do what I tell you to do. And you will witness what comes out of that. And what He tells you to do would be as simple as putting your feet in water. Or raising. Can I borrow that, Sister Vicki? Moses, I'm going to do something. I got you. I know where you're at. I brought you here. I set this up. You're going to have to know now what I can do if this thing's going to work.
But what I can do is going to hinge upon what I ask you to do. Now, in this situation of impossibility, Pharaoh's army with all of its chariots here and the Red Sea right there, no way to turn in the middle. Here's my command. Raise that. What? He said, if you raise that boy, you're going to find out what I can do. If you give that, you'll find out what I can do. If you'll pray about that, you'll find out what I can do. If you'll move as I tell you to move, you'll find out what's on the other side of it. If you knock on that door, if you'll open that door, if you'll seek, if you'll ask. Our part is so simple. But I guess that's the struggle we have with it, is the simplicity of it. How in the world is God going to do anything out of that? So I say to you that this matter of you first. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Somewhere in that, our prayer has to say, God, what is it you're wanting me to do that will open the door to what only you can do and will do? I believe that in every issue of which there is desperation, there will be something in it that He will ask you to do that will unlock what He wants to do. But the third thing I was thinking, it not only you first lets us see that He wants us to be involved in what He is doing. But secondly, He wants us to see what was going to come out of what He can do, if you'll just obey. But thirdly, this matter of you first is God making you aware of the magnitude of what, there's something beyond this you're going to miss if you don't go first. And hey, after all, what do you got to lose? You're standing between Pharaoh's army and the Red Sea. I mean, what do you got to lose other than this cane right here? What do you got to lose in being obedient? If you're at the Jordan River and you realize that if you don't cross that river, and all that lies beyond that river, you're never going to be able to experience it. What do you got to lose by putting your foot in the water? What do you got to lose in doing the small thing God asks you to do to find out the big thing He can do? I do know this much. There were 10 spies that affected all Israel so that only those that were 20 years and below were able to go into the promised land, because those spies convinced the people that they couldn't do what God wanted them to do, and they never witnessed what Joshua and Caleb witnessed. Never experienced it. I don't want to leave this world thinking there's something I missed because I wouldn't do what God told me to do. I want to draw nigh to find God waiting on me. I mean, it seems as though that the load of it really at the moment is so heavy that it falls upon you that you realize, I got to do something. Not just something. I got to do what the Lord has told me to do. Or else, what's beyond this? It can't be good. I think I better just go ahead and see what's on the other side. I pastored in the mountains of North Carolina for, 22 years. I loved it. I never wanted to leave there. Believe me, I never wanted to be an evangelist. I didn't quit pastoring because it was sour. And the two churches had two good churches. Still love them to this day. But I didn't want to be an evangelist. But the Holy Ghost come to me one day standing down front about right here preaching on Abraham's life, a life of faith. He went out knowing not, knew not whither he went, by faith. And while I was preaching to them on Abraham, have you ever had the Holy Spirit just stop you and say, he said to me, he stopped me right in the middle of it. I don't know if they could see it or not. He said, that's not for them. I said, what do you mean? I thought it was. He said, no, that's for you. It's time for you to leave. Man, I'm going to tell you, you're talking about hitting rock bottom right in the middle of a sermon. Last thing I want to do is leave. Yeah. I'm here to tell you, from that day on, every time I lay my head on the pillow, I thought, what am I missing that God has for me to do? And when I woke up in the morning, I'm talking about for 2 long years I fought that. And I thought, I came to the end of my wits. I thought, oh God, I can't, I'm missing so much. Every time I'd stand up and preach to those people, the Holy Ghost would say, you're preaching to the wrong people. This is not where I need you. And finally I threw up the white flag of surrender and said, God, I don't know what's out beyond this step, but I know one thing. I don't want to miss what you have for my life. And I'm here today because 25 years ago I had to raise the rod, put my foot in the water, or whatever it was that he wanted me to do to go do his will. But you know as well as I do, that's not just for me, that's for you. Because how many times have you been in that wrestling match with God and he come right in the middle of your prayer and say, yeah, I've been listening to you, but listen, you're not listening to me. Raise that rod. We can get this thing over pretty quick. If you just put your feet in the water. Because truth of the matter is, how would these stories have ended if they had not been obedient? Now your guess is as good as mine. I can't figure all that out. But let's just say Moses said, Lord, that's silly to me. I don't feel like a rod. What good's a rod raising a rod going to do in this situation? What if he just threw the rod down and said, I ain't doing that? Would God have split the Red Sea? Why do you need Moses to raise a rod? That ain't my business. But if that Red Sea's going to be split, he's going to have to raise that rod. And if the priests hadn't put their foot, they said, oh man, we've had these shoes. Lord, we ain't had to change shoes for all these years. I know, I've never had them wet. I don't want to put them down in that water. Okay. Would the water have rolled back? If the children of Israel said, you know, it's just too hot. This I can't walk like that. I mean, I'm not walking around that building like that. I mean, 7 days and then 7 times on the 7th day, my back hurts anyway. I don't want to do that. Would the wall come down? What if they hadn't poured the water into the vessels? Would the wine have come out? And what if they'd refused to push that stone away? Would Lazarus been brought forth from the dead? It wouldn't that God couldn't do it. Somebody said, well, if God can raise the dead, why don't he do all that himself? He can, but he won't. Because he wants you to be a part of it. He loves you so much, he wants you to know what he can do and to witness what he can do if you will be obedient and let him have his way. Now here's my last thought, and this is pretty good. If you'll go first, he'll let you be a part of what he's doing. Now there won't be no bragging rights to it. You'll just get to witness what he can do beyond your obedience and to experience it so you don't have to wonder about it. But the last thought is this. If you'll go first, what you'll find out after you go first is that you never were first at all. And after all, as he's already been there all the time, he's just waiting on you. What Moses found out at the Red Sea was God was there before he ever got there. That he's the one that hardened Pharaoh's heart and brought Pharaoh there. He's the one that led the children. He's the one that set the whole thing up. And the only thing Moses got to do in it is raise a rod. And when he raised that rod, he realized God Almighty had put all that together to start with. He's working on both sides at the same time. Both sides of your life at the same time. He set everything up for you. He knows where you're at in your commotions and emotions and circumstances and situation. He's got his hand in all of that also. But he's also in the delivering side of it. And he's working to bring the two together. But in the middle of it, there'll be one thing. Put your foot in the water. March around the wall. Pray for the rain. Pour water in the jugs. Move the stone away. But the moment you do that, what you realize is he was first after all. Do you know that? He was first after all. If he says come, that means he's already there. He said, open, and I'm coming in. He said, if you seek me first and seek the kingdom of God first, all these things shall be added. He said, I already got all these things lined up. They're waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. So many things we think we're waiting on God, and we are. We're waiting on God for, but don't realize he's on the other side of it, waiting on you. Said, I got something big I'm going to do. But there's something little I want you to do. And when you get to the other side of it, you're just going to say, man, God did that. God did that. And God did that. And God did that. And you look at I preached on this morning about his grace in my life. When I look at it, what I see is God in every step of the way. Think about your experience of salvation. Now, who do you think set that up? I mean, a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The cross was on his mind in eternity for his son to come into this world, to die, to be buried, to be resurrected, and come back and sit at the right hand and send the Holy Ghost to bring that gospel message he created to your heart. He did all of that on this side. On the other side, he made sure you were born and raised where you was at and brought you through whatever you were brought through. Maybe it was a gospel family and a loving family that you had the witness of the gospel so that you got saved and sometimes early on. Or maybe it was like mine, you was raised in a hellhole as this brother back here may have been testifying about and others, and you came through that. But when I look back, I see God all the way to the first breath. And beyond. But I'm telling you something. When I was standing in that alley that day, nobody else around, by myself, and he showed up, I had heard that gospel. He got in my head very clearly. It was up. I didn't realize it was that clear. Until he began to reiterate it to me through the Holy Ghost. And he said, now I do love you and I did die for you. And I come to save you. But what I'm going to tell you is if you'll believe on me, I'll give you eternal life. But if you don't, you're going to hell. Somebody said, did you have a choice? I said, yeah, but not much of one. That's exactly what he told me. And I felt like the next move. Now, I know God was on both sides of it, and I know he's in charge of it, but I felt like that if I took another step, I was going to hell. I really felt that way. And it was right there at that place that I realized the whole burden and weight of it fell on me. I was going to have to call on him. Now, I can't explain all that. I don't want to get into all the theology of that. But I thank God that he showed up and gave me that opportunity to call on his name, and he saved me. Now, I felt like at that time that it was very important that I trust him. But I never come out of that salvation experience bragging on myself. So I'm going to tell you something. If I hadn't have done what I'd done, then I just would. No. Everybody that's ever been saved has come out of it saying, thank God for all he did to bring me in. It's all about him. You find out that he was first all the time. But, let me say it this way. You'll have to go first to find out he is first. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, I done told you, he don't need you. He's the author, finisher, beginning, the end. Can't do nothing without him. Without me, you can't do nothing. But there are going to be those times that you're going to be brought to that experience, whether it is the desert with Egypt and the Red Sea or the Jordan River or the lack of rain or the walls that stand before you, or the vessels that are empty, or the stone that's blocking the way, that of necessity you're going to have to do, your move's the next. So I would end it this way. You may have to raise something up to get across something that's got you locked in. You understand what I'm saying? You may have to put your foot in something to get you in to where God wants you to be. You may have to pour something in to get something out. Do you understand what I'm saying? You may have to pour something in. He said, yeah, I can make water out of wine, but you're going to have to pour the water in to get something out. You might have to walk around that what you want God to bring down. You might have to push and shove something out of the way to witness what he can do when he gets his way. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. In the sensitivity of the moment, in which there is, and God will allow it, great desperation, let it be our prayer, Lord, before I ask you about what I want in this situation, what is it that you want that will unlock the door to what my need is? There are those times you first.